Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Dr. John Huber is here, too. John is a member of our Brain Trust, joined us this year. He's the chairman of Mainstream Mental Health. He's a clinical forensic psychologist. He's has privileges to practice his trade in more than one hospital. He's a professor of psychology at Texas State University in Austin, and he's our friend. John, welcome back.
Thank you for having me on. Hope you're having a great day.
Good. We are, absolutely. Hey, John, Cato Institute is an organization I've been reporting on and with for pretty close to 20 years. And right. So I know their work, I know their people, and they do good work. And recently they put out a survey that you found and you want to talk about today. It's about how Americans feel about political correctness. Tell us about it.
Well, generally what it says is that if you're a liberal, about 53% of you feel like that there's some bias and you shouldn't necessarily tell all your belief system, you know, thoughts to the population. And if you're conservative, that number is a lot higher, about 73%. And one of the tenets of, you know, this country is that free speech, we can talk about and discuss and have a real conversation about our differences and differences of opinion. And that has continued to help our country grow.
Right.
However, recently that what's happened is if you don't have an argument, if you don't have a rational numbers based kind of, you know, defense for that, people have gone to this political correctness and immediately thrown out personal attacks and go, oh, well, you don't believe this, you must be a bigot.
So let me slow that, sorry, down just for a second.
Okay,
there.
Okay.
So 53% of liberals think that they can't share their full feelings when they're having a debate with someone. And 70-something percent of conservatives feel like they have to hold back whenever they're having a conversation about politics. Is that right? About
yes.
Okay. So do you think it's because I'll just take the liberals first for no other reason than that you just choose them first. The liberals are thinking, I don't want to get into an argument. They're not going to agree with me, or they're not worthy of my comment. And on the conservative side, you think the conservatives are saying, well, you know, I no matter what I say, they're going to argue with me.
Well, and I think it's more than just arguing with me, because that's the whole tenet. You know, we have an actual discussion.
Or maybe argue's not the word. They're going to – I have a friend who calls it being a verbal tank. They just run over you.
Exactly. And you know, this premise that we can have a conversation – is lost. We're not training people, for example, in schools anymore to do real debate.
Mm-hmm.
It's more, you know, I mean, we don't watch it. You know, what do we
get? Well, it's worse. The schools are teaching them not to debate.
They're teaching them not to debate.
They've literally ripped debate out of the curriculum.
That's right. And then they turn around and say,
out of the experience.
Right. And the political correctness crowd has said, you know, you can't even talk about this because somebody might get offended. And wait a minute, that's, you know, that whole, I'd rather you be offended in a conversation than offended and, you know, in a back alley with a knife or a gun in your hand.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's the premise that our country is built on.
Well, this first piece of research doesn't really tell us much, except
no.
It tells us that that people are reticent to open up to people. For example, if you were one side of a debate, I was on the other side of the debate. The way it ought to be is you and I recognize each other as intelligent people, and we regard each other, we have respect for each other, but we just disagree. And so we say, okay, we're going to talk about this, and at the end, whether we agree or not, we're still going to be friends.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to call you a dummy because you don't agree with me. Right?
So
I mean, isn't
that
the simple premise that we should be operating under?
It is. It is. But we've gotten to the point where one side or the other doesn't have the data to support their statements. So instead of, hey, having to defend this position with no data, no reality-based testing, so to speak, this is the way I want it to be. So if that's not the case, you must be a bigot.
Or if the data, you know, never mind if they don't have the data, if the data that supports their position just isn't there. For example, if there's something that comes up that we don't have data on, and you and I disagree about it, I've got my opinion, you've got yours, and then we stand on that until the data comes in, and it comes in against me, and I refuse to accept it.
Exactly. So I turn around and I make it personal about you, not about the data. So I obfuscate. I take away the attention from the fact that my idea, the data suggests, is a bad idea.
Right.
And I go after you and say you're a bad person with something that, you know, we can't prove a negative.
Right.
So it doesn't matter whether it's true or not.
Dr. John, what's the psychology in this? Where does psychology
come? It basically comes from a weak mindset. It also comes from this thought that my kids are being taught this in schools. Of course, mom and dad are fighting back and teaching them the reality of it, that somehow if somebody says something you don't agree with, they're assaulting you, and it is harming you. And I was always taught sticks and stones can break my bones. You know?
Right,
so,
right.
And so we should stand up there and get a little tough outer skin and realize that the world isn't a good place all the time, and that we have to stand up for our belief sets and be able to defend them. And
so you're advocating against what's called political correctness.
Yes.
And when we come back, that's what we're going to go. We're going to go to political correctness. We're going to talk about that. This is a big deal, folks. This is a big deal because you have customers. You have employees. You have vendors that we all have to get along, and we should be able to have conversations and still get along even though we don't agree. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassing. See you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.